Now we're holding on page Ayin Gimel in Rosh Hashanah Ois Tes Zayin. After the beginning of the Masechta that talks about the Abor Rosh Hashanim, and then the Gemara digresses into a whole bunch of topics that are related to that, one of them being a large piece that we learned about Teshuva and everything that has to do with the Din of Rosh Hashanah. So now the next part of the Masechta that talks about the Din of Kiddush HaChodesh, where we know that the Sanhedrin would sit every month, and Edom would come and testify that they saw the moon, and then Beis Din would declare Rosh Chodesh on that basis. So the middle of the Masechta, to the end of the first perek, and all of the second, and the beginning of the third, talks about the dinim having to do with that. So the Mishnah starts off, Al Shisha Chadoshim Shluchim Yotzim. There were six months during the year when they would send out Shluchim to inform people in the outlying areas of Eretz Yisrael and in other countries when Beis Din had declared Rosh Chodesh. Now, in the second parak, it describes how originally they had masuos, they had torches that they would light, and they would spread the news much faster that way. But then it says over there that the kusim or the baitusim or whoever messed things up and were lighting them deliberately on the wrong date, so therefore they had to start sending out shluchim. So they didn't send out shluchim for every month because, say, for example, it's not as important for people to know, let's say, when Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan was. Even if they're a day off, it doesn't matter so much. Eventually they'll get it. They'll get it straight. But there were 6 months that they would send out shluchim. Al Nissen Mipnei Pesach. The first one was they would send out when Rosh Chodesh Nissen was declared, so people will know when to celebrate Pesach. And this is why you have. So you have the whole concept of 2 days of Yom Tov outside Eretz Yisrael is based on all this. The shluchim could reach only so far before Pesach. So anybody living further away from that would have to keep 2 days Yom Tov because they wouldn't know. They would know when Beis Din had declared Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara points out, by the way, usually the rule was Adar Asamach LeNissen LaOlam Chaser, that the Adar before, which is right before Nissen, which is to say regular Adar in a regular year and Adar Sheni in a leap year, is Chaser, but it didn't always have to be that way. That was the general rule, and Beis Din would make an effort to do it that way, but if it didn't work out, then it could be 30 days, and therefore they have to send out Shlof. Al Av Mipnei HaTainis, the next one was they would send out before Rosh Chodesh Av, so people will know when to fast Tisha B'Av. Now here, by the way, you have the Gemara is going to discuss, or rather it's going to come out from the discussion in the Gemara, whether we're talking about when the Beis Hamikdash is standing or not. But so there is machlokas rishonim on this. If we say that this was during the time when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, does that mean they fasted on Tisha B'Av as well? And on the face of it, the Gemara is going to say that not all of them are the sos and the simcha. The Rambam holds that yes. The Rambam holds the other Dalad Soimus they had as Yom Tovim during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, but Tisha B'Av, he says, is different, and that they fasted even in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Many other Rishonim disagree with him on it and say that no, when we're saying Al-Av Mipnei HaTainis would be after the Churban. Anyway, Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah, then they would send out messengers at the end of Elul so people will know when Rosh Hashanah is. So Rashi explains again like this: most years Elul is 29 days, but you always have the question whether it's going to be or not. So, but at least therefore they have to know when the first of Elul is in order to know when the 29th of Elul is and to know what day potentially is Rosh Hashanah. So therefore they'd have to send out messengers to tell them when Rosh Chodesh Elul is, and from that they'd be able to know. Okay, so now this day is the 29th, and the next day is likely to be Rosh Hashanah, since Elul is generally 29 days, and therefore that would be. It comes out from Rashi that in those times, they could celebrate Rosh Hashanah for only one day. They could assume that Elul is Chaser, and in fact, the Gemara mentions a point, I don't think we're going to have it in Ein Yaakov, but the Gemara mentions a point that from the time of Ezra until well into the time of Amoraim, we don't find ever that Elul was Ma'uber. We find an example in Sefer Ezra where it implies that there was a 2 day Rosh Hashanah because they had 30 days in Elul. After that, we have some cases that the Gemara mentions where they had 2 days, where they had a 30 day Elul, but in general, they made strong efforts not to do that. So according to Rashi, the vote would be that the Bnei Gola, as long as they know when Rosh Chodesh Elul was, they could rely on that and keep only one day Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos, on the other hand, says no, that they would have to keep 2 days, but nevertheless, they still have to know when the 2 days are, and for that, they need to know when Elul began. They need to know the 2 days are going to be, in effect, the 30th and 31st of Elul, because maybe Elul was 29 days, maybe it was 30, but in order to know that, they have to know when Rosh Chodesh Elul was, so therefore, they would send Shluchim for that. Tosfos, by the way, points out they wouldn't send out Shluchim for Sivan so people will know when Shavuos is, because you don't need to. Shavuos is the 50th day after the beginning of Sefirah Omer. famously, we know there's the Rebbe's Psak and a number of letters that when a person is traveling and crosses the international date line doing Sfira, that he should keep his own Sfira and celebrate Shavuos according to his own count. Not all Poskim agree with that, by the way. There are contemporary Poskim who hold differently and say that you would celebrate Shavuos as everybody else in that place does. But we, of course, follow the Rebbe's Psak in that. And the Rebbe, by the way, was not one, much of one given to paskening practical halacha most of the time. Generally, the Rebbe deferred to Rabbanim on that. This was one of the rare examples as far as when to keep Shavuos. If you cross the date line, where the Rebbe actually paskened on it in several letters. So the point is, they didn't have to send out Shluchim for Sivan because automatically you know that Shavuos is going to be the 50th day of Sfira. So as long as you knew when Pesach was, you're going to know when Shavuos is. So, the Rebbe talks about to know in a lot of places that when you cross the international date line during Sfira, even though you're gaining a day, you're losing a day, you still have to keep your own count, and therefore you celebrate Shavuos according to your count, even though it's a day off of where you are now. Lemaisa Geret, you know, when people make an effort when they're traveling during Sfira, they'll travel the long way round. If they have to go to Australia or whatever, they'll go the long way round by way of Eretz Yisrael or whatever, rather than get into the issue in the first place. But yeah. On top of that, by the way, you should know there is a machlokas that goes back to the Rishonim where the date line is according to Halacha. Anyway, that's a whole other matter. The Baal Amor has something to say on it, has a lengthy thing to say on it in our perek. You have famously the Chazon Ish had a shit on it, and Rabbi Michal Tikhachinsky had a shit on it. And there are several different shittas that are negeya when a person is traveling in or across the Pacific, where Shabbos begins and where. Which day is Shabbos in those places? But that's another matter. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. So Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. So again, they would send out messengers to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh Elul is, so they can calculate when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. Al Tishrei Mipnei Takanas Hamoedis. Then the next one is they would send out Shluchim when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei Rosh Hashanah was declared, so people will know about the rest of the Yom Tov, and they need to know when Yom Kippur is going to be, when Sukkot is going to be. So therefore, they need to send out Shluchim for that. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah, they would send out messengers to tell when Rosh Chodesh Kislev took place, so people will know when to celebrate Chanukah. Al Adar Mipnei Purim, and they would send out for Rosh Chodesh Adar, so people will know when Purim is. So 6 months. Och Shahoya Besim Ekdash Kayim, when the Besim Ekdash was standing, Yotzim Afal Ir, then they would also send out Shluchim to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh Ir was, Mipnei Pesach Katan, so people will know when Pesach Sheni is. So the Turei Evin points out, according to the Shitta, and we said before that the Rambam holds that they always fasted Tisha B'Av during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. So according to him, there were times when there was seven, because you have the six that we mentioned plus year. The Turei Evin says, according to the other opinions, you can say there were always six. When the Beis Hamikdash is standing, they sent out for year, but not of. And when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they sent out for of, but not for year. Okay. The Gemara asks, though, V'lipuk nami atamuz v'tevis, v'atevis. Why don't they also go out, why don't the shluchim also go out to tell people when Rosh Chodesh Tamuz was and when Rosh Chodesh Tevis was, so they know when to fast on Shivasa v'tamuz and Asar v'tevis. The Omer of Chona bar Bizna, Omer of Shimon Chasida, as in fact, Rav Chona bar Bizna says in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida, my dichtiv, what does it mean, the posif? Now, in Zechariah, the Novi Zechariah tells how at one point a bunch of people came to him with a shaila. Here now, they say, since the Churban Bayis Rishon, we've been fasting on the various dates that have to do with the Churban. Now that the Beis Hamikdash is being rebuilt, they asked Zechariah this in the fourth year of Dariush. As we learned before, they restarted the building of the second Beis Hamikdash in the second year of Dariush, and they completed it in the sixth year. So now they're halfway through the building, and it looks like it is going to actually work out this time. Especially the Nevi'im told them that it will. So now they came to Zechariah with a shaila: should we fast? Should we continue to fast on these fasts? So Zechariah gives them a long nevuah in reply, and at the end of it, he says, "Koyam Hashem Tzvakas, Tzom Horavi, Tzom Hachamishi, Tzom Hashvi, Tzom Hasivi." These four fasts: Tzom Horavi is during the fourth month, which is Tammuz; Tzom Hachamishi is during the fifth month, which is Tisha B'Av; Tzom Hashvi is Tzom Gedalia; Tzom Hasivi is Asar B'Tevis. Actually, we're going to learn soon that Rav Shimon disagrees and says Tzom Hasivi is something else. But anyway, we'll get to that. Anyway, the passage continues. Yilavais Yehuda v'sosin v'simcha gomer. These fast days will be for the house of Yehuda, for the Jewish people, will be days of sosin and simcha. So, in other words, he's saying you don't have to fast. The problem with it is kori lahu tsoim v'kori lahu sosin v'simcha. The problem is, on the one hand, he's calling them tsoim, and on the other hand, he's calling them sosin v'simcha. Now, many of the mafoshim, including on Shulchan Aruch, including the Beis Yosef on the Tur, and the Taz on Shulchan Aruch, and a number of the mafoshim here on the Gemara, ask the question. So what's the question? What is the Gemara even asking? What he's saying is these days that you've been fasting until now for the last 70 odd years, now you don't need to anymore. So of course, he's saying they were tzayim and now there's sasim v'simcha. And they give a variety of different answers. The Beis Yosef on the tour gives an answer that since the whole thing was being given an answer to the question, should we fast? Then why is he saying the word? Why is he saying tsoim harviv, tsoim achamishi, etc.? It's saying he should be saying you may chodesh harviv, you may chodesh achamishi, etc. And then of course, which days do you have to be? No, do you have to know? Are going to be yemei sasim v'simcha? Are going to be the fast days during those months? When he calls them tsoim, implies that they still have a certain aspect of tsoim left to them. So that's the Beis Yosef's answer. The Taz gives a somewhat similar answer on Shulchan Aruch, and he says also that the Loshen over there when he's saying that it's too wordy if he just means that those days are going to be Yimei Sasin Asimcha. He could have just said, look, you asked me about the fast days, fine, Yil Sasin Asimcha. He doesn't need to mention the actual names of the fasts. Marsha says the vote over here is that he's saying that these were fasts in Bavel, but on the other hand, he was saying they're going to be Sasim v'Simcha, which implies they're forever going to be Sasim v'Simcha, and it's not so. There's going to be a time when they're going to be Tzoyim again. Therefore, is going to be the answer that in fact it goes back and forth depending on the circumstances that the Gemara is going to go on to establish. And another one, the Rif points out that the question really is why it says ye yeah in the singular. If we're talking about four different fasts, it should be ye you. So therefore, we have to understand that we're talking about a circumstance that the Jewish people are in rather than the individual fasts. So elalav hochi kamer. So evidently, it means like this: bizman sheyesh shalom ye l'sasin l'simcha. When there is peace, when the Jewish people are at peace. And Rashi says that means when the goyim are not ruling over the Jews, then yil asasin al simcha. Then these days will be days of happiness and then simcha. Ein shalom tzayim. And when there's no shalom, then they're going to be a fast day. So the question is then, on the face of it, at least even during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, there were times when the goyim were ruling over Jews. So in that case, then why, if the Mishnah is talking about during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash or after, either way, they should be going out and informing people when Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is and when Rosh Chodesh Tevis is, so they know when to fast on those in those respective months. So they know the proper date. So the Papa says, no, that's not actually what it means. The distinction is like this. When there is shalom, when the Jewish people are living peacefully in Eretz Yisrael and no goyim are dominating them or whatever, then the yil asasin al-simcha, then these days will be days of sasin v'simcha. And you certainly don't need to send out shluchim then because, okay, very nice, they're days of sasin v'simcha. Doesn't mean that you have to inform people dafka what day. The point of it being l'sasin l'simcha is going to be that you can't do hespedim and you can't fast on those days. So fine, you'll make sure then you'll cover all your bases. You'll say, I don't know whether today is Yud Zayin Tammuz or whether it's Tes or whether it's Yud Ches, whether Sivan was 29 or 30 days. Fine, we won't fast on either day and have done with it. But yesh gzeira tzoyim. The flip side is if there is an actual gzeira and some uncensored your source of the Gemara have instead of the word gzeira have the word shmad. So when the goyim are actually trying to eradicate Yiddishkeit chas v'shalom tzoyim, then you have to fast. But then there's a middle ground, ein gzeira ve'ein shalom, when there's no gzeira, but there's also no peace. So we are being ruled over by the goyim, but at least they're not actively trying to outlaw Yiddishkeit. Rotsu misanin, rotsu ein misanin. Then we have a choice. People have a choice whether to fast or not. Therefore, that's what Papa is saying. That is why the Mishnah is not saying that they had to send out shluchim after the Churban for Tammuz and for Tevis, because even though there was not shalom, most of the time there was no gzeira either. So therefore, they weren't required to fast on those days, and therefore they weren't going to bother sending out shluchim for something which you don't have to keep anyway. So Marsha points out a nuance over here, by the way. The Pasuk after. Well, that's the point. In other words, that's the Gemara was asking the question, that are they Sasim v'Simcha or are they Tzoyim? So the Gemara had thought there was only two possibilities. Either there's sus and v'simcha, or either there's shalom or there's no shalom. And if there's no shalom, they have to be at tzayim. And that would imply that when, as soon as the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, or maybe even before that, when the goyim are ruling over the Jews, then there has to be at tzayim. Now the Papa is saying, no, there's a three-way distinction. There are times when you're not required to fast those days, but you could if you want to. Rotsu misanin, rotsu en misanin. So that's the kind of time that the Mishnah is talking about. Shluchim would not go out for Tammuz or for Tevis because these fast days are only optional, and therefore they're not going to send out shluchim for something that you're not required to keep. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that even though technically that's true, nevertheless, all Jews have accepted on themselves that these fasts as required, and therefore a person can't be put it together. A person can't say, well, look, the Gemara says, Rotsu Misanin, Rotsu En Misanin, and right now is relatively peaceful, so I don't feel like fasting. No, we don't say that. A pregnant woman or a nursing woman or whatever is a whole other matter, but we're not talking about that. The Ran actually points out an interesting thing in this regard. He brings from the Ramban. He says that really, Given that these fasts all have to do with the Churban, really they should all be just like Tisha B'Av lasts from sunset to nightfall, lasts 25 hours, and you can't bathe and you can't wear shoes. Really, all the other fasts should be the same way. Shavasa B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tevis and Sim Gedalia really technically should all be the same thing because they're all in connection with the Churban. However, since the Gemara is saying over here that B'chlal, people had an option, Rotsu Misanin, Rotsu Ein Misanin, so the Ran says, apparently people accepted on themselves, fine, we're willing to fast on those days, but not with the full Chumrah of a Tainus Tzibur to fast from evening to evening, only from Alois Shachar until the evening, and not to give up wearing leather shoes and bathing and so forth. And therefore, that remains the halacha that you are allowed to do those things on the other three fasts, only you're not allowed to do them on Tisha B'Av, and of course, not on Yom Kippur, which is Daraisa. Marsha points out a nuance over here in the Pasuk. The Pasuk, after Zechariah lists these four fasts, and he says that there are going to be days of Sus and Vesimcha, he continues, V'ha emes v'ha shalom ehov, love, truth, and peace. Which he says, that's hinting at the fact the Navi is telling them that the second Beis Hamikdash is not going to last forever unless you have Emes and Shalom among yourselves. So if you want to have that these days should remain Sus and Vesimcha, and you shouldn't have to go back to fasting like you did during Golus Bavel, make sure you hold on to Emes and Simcha. And when they didn't, when there was Sinas Chinam, then the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and then we had to go back to fasting these fasts until Mashiach comes and the Beis Hamikdash is built, and then once again there'll be Yemei Sus and Vesimcha. That's the point of him adding okay, so the Gemara asks the Hochi Tesba of Nami. Well, by that logic, if you're telling me that you have this three-way distinction between whether there's Shalom and the other extreme when there's Gzeira, and in between when there's neither Shalom nor Gzeira, where there it's optional to fast, and therefore we're saying that it wasn't required to fast on Shivasa B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tevis and Sim Gedalia, and therefore they didn't need to send out Shluchim for those, well then, Ihochi Tesba of Nami. Well then, say the same thing about Tisha B'Av. Why are they sending out Shluchim to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh Av is? Shouldn't you say the same thing? I'm going to pop a shiny Tesh B'Av, the difference is Tisha B'Av is different because so many tzores happen on it. In particular, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed twice. We learn in a Mishnah at the end of Tainus. The first and second Beis Hamikdash were both destroyed on Tisha B'Av. V'nilka da Beitar, and Beitar was captured, which was a city full of hundreds of thousands of Jews, and it was captured, and the goyim there were massacred by the Romans. And the Rambam describes that it was a tragedy almost on par with the Churban. The Nechor Sha'ir and the city of Yerushalayim was plowed up. Tuna Serufas, as the Gemara tells us over there, and the Gemara Tainus went and plowed up the Yerushalayim in order, he wanted to demonstrate once and for all that it's never going to be rebuilt. Chas v'shalom. So therefore, he did that as a symbol of that, and therefore, so that's another thing that happened on Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av, because you had so many tzaris that happen on it, that's not in the rule of Rotsu Misanin, Rotsu En Misanin, that you have to fast regardless, unless when the Beis Hamikdash is built, then you make it. You may sus and v'simcha, and again, the Rambam holds not even that. He holds even during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, they had to fast on Tisha B'Av. According to the Rambam, only when the third Beis Hamikdash is built, Shibonav M'Heirav Yamenu, are we going to be able to have that. Tisha B'Av is going to be Yemei Sus and v'simcha, but never before that, the Rambam holds. So, continuing on the topic of these four fasts, the Gemara says, Tanya, Reb Shimon Yechoyim, or Omer Reb Shimon, Arba Dvarim Hoyer Rabbi Akiva Dorsh. There were four things that Rabbi Akiva Darshin, Ve'ena in Psukim, Ve'ena Ni Dorsh Kemoisoi, where in each one of them, I don't Darshin like him, I learn different. V'zu echad mehen, and one of them is the following. So Rashi refers to Tesefta and Masechta Sota that lists the other three. One of them is Rashi lists them out of order, the way they are in the Tesefta over there, going in the order that they are in the Psukim, and the way that in the order that they're given in the Tesefta. The first one is about Yishmael, and it says about Teira Sarah, that Sarah saw that Yishmael was Mitzachek. What does Mitzachek mean? So the Tesefta brings over there from Rabbi Akiva and several other Tanoim who hold that Yishmael was guilty of Avodah Zarah and Gilead Arayis and Shlichus Damim. And then Rabbi Shimon says, what are you talking about? And Avram of his house, you're going to have Avodah Zarah, and you're going to have Gilead Arayis, you're going to have Shlichus. No, it means that Yitzchak means that Yishmael was making fun of you're saying that Yitzchak, you're saying you're going to inherit everything that Avraham has. I'm the Bechor, I'm the older one, I'm going to inherit more than you are. So that's the Mitzachek according to Reb Shimon. Rashi, by the way, brings both of them on the Psukim in Parshas Vayera. The second one is in Parshas Baal Loisva, when the Jewish people are complaining, they want meat, and Moshe says, and Hashem says, fine, I'm going to give them slav for 30 days until they're sick of it. And Moshe says, "Atzon uvaku yishachet lahem." So Rabbi Akiva takes it, this is also brought in Rashi on the pasuk over there. Rabbi Akiva takes that at face value. Moshe is saying literally, Hashem, is it possible, are you going to be able to provide enough cattle and sheep and meat and whatever for them? What do you mean? How could he possibly doubt what Hashem can do? Okay, but since it was in private, he didn't say it in public in front of the Jewish people, then Hashem didn't hold it so strongly against him. But Reb Shimon again says, what are you talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol beisi neman hu, he's gonna doubt that Hashem has the capability. So he says, and Rashi brings it on the pasuk over there. No, it means that Moshe is saying, is it really appropriate? You're gonna give them so much meat only to kill them as a result of it. Is it really right that you should give them a gift like that? That's the second one. The third one is based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. The Navi says to the Jewish people, the few Jews who remained in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban Bayis Rishon, whereas we're going to talk about soon, they were being led by Gedaliah until he was assassinated. So Yechezkel describes. He says, Hashem tells Yechezkel, Yoshvei Acharov Se'ela, these Jews who are living in the ruined cities of Eretz Yisrael, they're thinking to themselves, Echad Haya Avraham by Yirash HaSa'aretz. Avraham was one, and he inherited the land, and we're many, so we should be able to inherit the land all the more so. So then you have Rabbi Akiva and various other Tanoim doushin in different ways. It means literally that Avraham was one, whereas we're many. It meant that one drasha over there, as they're saying, in a kruma way, Avraham served only one God, and he inherited the whole Eretz Yisrael. We serve many gods. How much more so we should have a kruma svara of theirs? And then Reb Shimon says nothing doing. It means that they're saying Avraham was given primarily only one mitzvah, bris milah, and in the schus of that, he inherited Eretz Yisrael. We have so many mitzvahs, so how much more so we should be able to hold on to Eretz Yisrael indefinitely. And the Navi goes on to tell them, no, you don't know what you're talking about because you're violating all those mitzvahs. Anyway, the point is, so those are three of the four things where Reb Shimon darshins a pasuk differently than Rabbi Akiva. Now comes the fourth one, like this. This pasuk in Zechariah goes as follows. Soma, we said there were four fasts mentioned over there. Soma Revi, Vitzema Chamishi, Vitzema Shvi, Vitzema Asiri. So let's go through them one by one. Tzoma Revi is a Yud Zayin or Tes v'Tammuz. The Tzoma Revi refers to the 17th or the 9th of Tammuz. Shabbat, why the 9th? We don't fast on the 9th. We'll talk about it in a second. Shabbat Huvka Ha'ir. That was the day on which the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Shenemah, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, B'chodesh Revi B'sisha L'chodesh, in the 4th month, which is Tammuz, counting from Nisan, on the 9th of the month, V'yechzak HaRav B'yir, the famine was very severe in the city because they had been besieged by that point for 2.5 years, so they were running out of food. And the next pasuk continues that the city was broken open. The first time around, the Churban Bayis Rishon, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached on the 9th of Tammuz. The second time, when the Romans were attacking Yerushalayim, it was breached on the 17th. So the vote would be then the Chachamim didn't want to be matriachas, to fast twice a week apart for essentially the same kind of event. So therefore, they made it according to the 17th, because that's the one closer to our time. The fact that we're still in Golus now is a result of that second one, not so much as a result of the first one. On the other hand, actually, Tosfos on this is not printed here in the Gemara, but actually the Tosfos that's printed in the Gemara actually brings from Yerushalmi, Marsha brings it over here as well, a very interesting idea that in fact, two possibilities. Either it actually was Shivas of Tammuz with Nebuchadnezzar and his army as well, but there was what's called Kilkul Chashbonus. The calculations were messed up. People thought that it was the 9th of the month, and really it was the 17th. So Hashem told the Navi to record that it was the 9th, because that's what people thought, even though in reality it was the 17th. there's a vote on that that someone says, I don't remember who, that it's actually more, it's a matter of calculating according to the solar calendar versus the lunar calendar. You have an 11-day difference between the two of them every year. So that means you have approximately 1 day extra in every secular month relative to the corresponding Jewish month. So if they calculated by mistake according to Goyish month, they would come out from Tishrei until Tammuz is 9 months and change. So therefore you have a discrepancy of about 9 days. So therefore that brings us approximately from Tes to Yud Zayin. So there's a vort like that. And the Yoshami also brings another very interesting possibility. Maybe indeed by the first Korban, it was the ninth of Tammuz that the walls were breached. But then according to that, it was three, everybody, the Yoshami brings an opinion that everybody would say that it's 3 weeks from when the walls were broken open until the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So if we say that it was in fact the ninth of Tammuz and no Tilkul Cheshbonis, it actually was the ninth day of Tammuz, it would come out according to that, says the Yoshami, that the Beis Hamikdash was actually destroyed, not on Tisha B'Av, but rather on Rosh Chodesh. And the Yerushalmi even brings a pasuk from Sefer Yechezkel that seems to support that, because there's a nevuah in Sefer Yechezkel dated Rosh Chodesh Av, where he's speaking to Tsur, the famous kingdom of Tsur, the kingdom of Chiram Melech Tsur, and they're saying how happy we are that Yerushalayim has been destroyed, and now all the wealth and all the trade that used to go to Yerushalayim is going to go to us instead. And the Navi tells them, you're also going to get yours. So according to that, then we could say that in fact the Beis Hamikdash may have been destroyed on Rosh Chodesh Av. The Yerushalmi brings that as a possibility. Yeah. So we do the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av. Actually, no, the Gemara in Tainis, the Bavli in Tainis, learns that from the fact that since you have a pasuk that says that Hashem says, Vishvati kol mesoisa, Hashem says to the Novi Hesheya, that as a result of the Jewish people's Averis, I'm going to take away all their happiness. Chaga, Chodsha, Vishabata. So therefore, we have a certain aspect of Avelus that begins from Chodsha and a certain aspect that begins from Shabbata, because in principle, you have certain dinim that begin only from the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. Lamaisa by Ashkenazim, we're pretty much not knowing in that. All the restrictions that should apply only the week of Tisha B'Av, we do from Rosh Chodesh, but in principle, there are things that apply beginning from Rosh Chodesh throughout the whole 9 days, and other things that apply only during Shavuot, Shechal, Tisha B'Av, B'Sodeh. So it's based on, the Bavli learns it from that. Yeah, the Yerushalmi maybe could derive it from, yeah. Anyway, so Tsoim Revi refers to the fast about the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim that took place during Tammuz. Again, one possibility is that it was the 17th of Tammuz by both Bate Mikdash, and the first one is listed as the 9th because of a Kilko Cheshbonus, as the Yerushalmi says, or the other possibility is that the first time around it was indeed the 9th, the second it was the 17th, but again, the Chachamim established it for us only on the 17th because they didn't want to be Matriachas with two fasts a week apart. Yeah. Next, Amai Korolei Revi, so Rabbi Akiva continues, why is that fast called Revi? Because Revi L'Chadashim, because Tammuz is the fourth month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. Next, Tzoma Chamishi, when Zechariah continues in listing the fasts, and he mentions Tzoma Chamishi, Zet Tes Ba'av, that refers to Tisha B'Av, Shabon Nisraf Beis Alekeinu, when the Beis Hamikdash was burnt on that day. Tosfos actually refers to a Gemara in Tainis that points out that there's a pasuk in Sefer Melachim that actually in Tanakh you don't find the date of Tes B'Av at all. You have the events of the Churban are described most fully in Sefer Yumia and in Sefer Melachim. You also have them mentioned briefly in other places, in Divrei Yomim in particular, but most of the greatest detail is given at the end of Yumia and at the end of Melachim. In one place, in neither place does it mention the ninth. In Melachim, it says the seventh, and in Yirmiyah, it says the tenth. So where do we get the ninth from? So Tosfos refers to the Gemara in Tainis that says that actually what it was is on the seventh, the Goyim entered the Heichel, and they started eating and drinking and hulying over there and having a fun time over there. Then they did that for 3 days. Then towards the evening on Tisha B'Av, they set it afire, and it burnt throughout the rest of Tisha B'Av and the tenth. The Gemara, in fact, says over there, Rabbi Yochanan said, if I had been around in the generation when they set up these Tanesim, I would have said the Tanes should be on the 10th, because most of the Beis Hamikdash was burnt on that day. The Chachamim took the view, Aschal to the Puranusa Odif, the beginning of the Puranus is the most severe thing, and therefore we fast on the 9th instead of the 10th. But the fact that they started on the 7th, by the way, has certain implications. In halacha, there are certain things where because of a simcha or something, you're allowed to override some of the dinim of the 9 days, but less so beginning from Zayin Av on. For the same reason, on the 10th, till Chatzos, we also have to still keep the dinim of the 9 days. Yeah, for that reason, because the Beis Hamikdash was mostly burnt on the 10th. Yeah. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying he would have b'chalal made the fast on the 10th. The Chachamim of that time said that no, eschalted to put on Urus Adif. But nevertheless, yes, we do continue to keep the restrictions to Chatzos of the 10th in token of the fact that most of the burning took place on the 10th. But anyway, Tosfos is saying, based on that Gemara, that is why, if you look in the Pesukim, you will not find the date of Tesva of, you'll find either Zayin of or Yud of, because one Pesuk is talking about when the Goyim actually entered the Heichel, and the other one is when they finished burning it. Anyway,
finished burning.
I mean, they started on the 9th. They started on the 9th towards the evening, and it burnt throughout the rest of the 9th and into the 10th. So Amai Korolei Chamishi, again, why is this called Tzayma Chamishi? Chamishi L'Chadoshim, because it means it's the 5th month, counting from Nisan. Next, Tzayma Shvi, then we have the fast of the 7th month, Zeg Gimel B'Tishrei. This refers to the 3rd of Tishrei, Shaboy Nere Gedalia Ben Achikam. That Gedalia Ben Achikam was killed on it, and he was the governor of the Yidden who were left in Eretz Yisrael. The Pesukim described most fully in Sefer Yirmiyah. It mentions it briefly in Melachim. It mentions in more detail in Yirmiyah how after the Churban, Nebuchadnezzar decided to leave a small remnant of Jews behind in Eretz Yisrael and to put Gedalia as their governor, and everything was working out well until, as the Gemara is going to say now, Yishmael ben Nesanya came and assassinated him. The whole story is in great detail in the Pesukim over there. So the Gemara continues, and Mihorgoi, who killed Gedalia ben Achikam, Yishmael ben Nesanya. Now, the Turei Evan wonders, why does the Gemara even need to ask the question? We can look in the Pesukim and say for Yirmiyah ourselves and find the whole sad story over there. So different Mephoshim explain different explanations on it. Marsha says, the Gemara is going to now say that when Tzaddikim pass away is as bad as the Churban. Well, then you have to ask, then why are we singling out the death of this one Tzaddik and fasting on it? Why don't we fast on the Yotzad of every Tzaddik, and then we have to be fasting all year round? Because the point is, this one, because Yishmael ben Nesanya assassinated him, and because of that, all of these Jews got scared and all ran away from Eretz Yisrael, as it describes in detail in the Pesukim over there. Therefore, his death is like almost, it's not just that it's the death of an individual tzaddik, as bad as that is, but it's in a way, it's on a par with the Churban, because it was like the last act in the Churban. The Rambam uses the expression, v'nichbas of gachelus Yisrael anish eres, that last spark of Jews in Eretz Yisrael was extinguished at that point. And then Eretz Yisrael remained desolate for the next 52 years until Kodesh gave them permission to return. So that's one reason why it mentions the fact that Yishmael ben Nesanya killed him. Another point is also Ben Yehoyada makes a point. Mele, if it was a Goy who killed him, okay, many Jews have been killed by Goyim over the years. The Eibishter will take Nekama from them. But here you have the tragedy is all the greater that it was a fellow Yid who killed him. So therefore we make a bigger deal of it. Anyway, the Lamdacha, this teaches you, Shashkula, Misos, and Shatzadikim, Kisrefas Beis Elokeinu. You see that the death of a Tzaddik of Gedalia is considered as serious as the burning of the Beis Hamikdash, that we're putting the fast of Gedalia's assassination on a par with the fast in connection with the Churban. So therefore, that shows how terrible it was. The Rashash actually makes a very interesting point over here. He says, when they first came with the Shaila to Zechariah, that's mentioned over there in the Novi Zechariah, it says they didn't ask him about all four. When Zechariah answers them, he answers them about all four, and he lists them as we're going through the Pasuk over here. But they, to begin with, ask him only about, they ask him only, or actually not when they ask him, rather, when Hashem first starts speaking to Zechariah to tell the people, he says, he mentions only the fasts in Chamishi and Shvi. You've been fasting for 70 years now in the 5th and the 7th month. Now, there was two others. We say there's also the 4th month and also the 10th month. Why is he mentioning Davka, those two, to show that the one in the 7th month, the one for Gedalia being assassinated, is on a par with the one from Chodesh HaChamishi with Tisha B'Av. That bears out what the Gemara is saying over here, that the death of a tzaddik, Gedalia, is on a par with the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, Amai Korle Shvi, why is it called Tzayma Shvi? Shvi L'Chadoshim, because it's in the 7th month. There are, by the way, a couple of Mephoshim who learn, including Mephoshim on the Pasuk, that Gedalia was actually assassinated on Rosh Hashanah itself. Elamai, we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, so therefore they pushed it off to after Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, the last one, Tzayma HaAsiri, Zeh Asara B'Tevis, Rav Akiva concludes that Tzayma HaAsiri in Zechariah's list refers to Asara B'Tevis, which it could be called Asiri because it was the tenth of the month, but really it's like all the other ones, it's being called after the number of the month itself. Tevis is the 10th month, counting from Nisan. Shabbos Samach Melech Bavel on Yerushalayim, on that day, on Asara B'Tevis, is when Nebuchadnezzar started besieging Yerushalayim. Shenemar, there was a sichus, by the way, from the later years, from the Nalef or so, where the Rebbe talks about the deeper meaning behind this expression, samach, that in a siege, on the one hand, it's a terrible thing to live through a siege. You have fewer and fewer people nowadays, but you can ask the really old timers how they fared, for example, in the siege of Yerushalayim in 1948 or the siege of Leningrad in 1941. A siege is a horrible thing. On the other hand, the Rebbe points out there is something in it that everybody feels a certain closeness and they all depend on each other. That's the samach, that it brings about a greater avos yisrael between people. Anyway, so samach belach bava Yerushalayim shenema by hidran Hashem eilai b'shona atchiyis. The Yechezkel says, the word of Hashem came to me in the ninth year. This is the ninth year since Golus Yechonya, so 2 years before the Korban. B'chodesh ha'asiri, in the 10th month, which is the Tevis, but also l'chodesh, on the 10th of the month, lemer, and Hashem told me that, right, Hashem tells him, write down the uchtiv. The next pasuk continues, ben Adam, soiv l'cha shem hayoim, write down for yourself the name of this day, as etzem hayim hazeh, this very day, samach melech bava Yerushalayim, on this very day, over in Eretz Yisrael, Nebuchadnezzar has begun the siege of Yerushalayim. So therefore we fast on Asara B'Tevis to commemorate that. This that it says, Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh, by the way, famously the Avud Raham says that based on this, if Asara B'Tevis could come out on Shabbos, we would actually fast on it, just like it says by Yom Kippur, Etzem Hayem Hazeh, and we fast on Shabbos. L'maisa, in our calendar, it can't fall out on Shabbos, it can fall out on Erev Shabbos, and then we tack a fast into Shabbos. The only fast we do that. Anyway. V'amai korele asiri, and Rabbi Akiva continues, why do we call it Soma Asiri? Asiri l'chadoshim, because the 10th month, because Tevis is the 10th month counted from Nisan. So now, after bringing this long drosha from Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon says, so Rabbi Akiva finishes off, actually, now, on the face of it, that one should have been listed first. If we look at the events that the four fasts are commemorating, this one came first. First came the siege of Yerushalayim, then came the breaching of the walls, then came the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and then came the assassination of Gedaliah. And here we're listing this one last. So, v'lom nichtav kan, why is it listed in this order? Rabbi Akiva says, k'dei l'hastir chadoshim k'tikvan, to list the months in their expected order. Tevis is later in the year than all the other ones, because the 10th month, so therefore the pasuk wants to list them in the order of the calendar. Now, says Rabbi Shimon, v'ani eini oymekein, I disagree. The first three of them, sure. The first three of them are exactly what he said, the 9th or 17th of Tammuz, the 9th of Av, and the 3rd of Tishrei. But the fourth one, Elat Soim HaAsiri, Zehei B'Tavis. This refers to the 5th of Tavis. Now we Lubavitch of Siddim, know Hei Tavis is a Yom Tov, because it was Sfarim. But nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon is saying it's actually a fast day. Shaboy Bos Shmuel Agoyla Shehuksa'ir. That was when the news reached the Goyla, reached Babel, that the city had been destroyed. Shenema, as Yechezkel says, by he the Shtei Esrei Shana, in the 12th year since Golos Yechonya, so this is a year after the next year after the Churban, Ba'asiri, in the 10th month, which is Tevis, Ba'chamisha L'chodesh, in the 5th day, L'golus Seinu, counting from our Golos, which had happened 12 years earlier, Boi La'apolit Yerushalayim Lamer, a fugitive, a Yid who had run away from Yerushalayim, came Lamer, saying, Huksa'ir, the city has been struck, the city has been destroyed. So the news came to Babel on Hey Tevis, but also Yom Shmur, Kiyom Srefa, and Reb Shimon says, therefore, they made the day that they found, that they got the news, the equivalent of the day that it was burned. So according to him, they fasted on Tisha B'Av, so also they started fasting on Hey Tevis, because that was the day they received the news that the Churban had taken place on Tisha B'Av. By the way, we don't do that now because it would be too hard to fast. To fast a few days in succession. However, in the Slichus of Asar B'Tevis, actually, we mentioned there used to be fasts. It's brought at the end of Megillas Tainus. There were fasts on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th of Tevis, as well as on the 5th of Tevis. We mentioned all four, the 8th of Tevis, because that's when they finished the Targum HaShivim, that's when the 70 Skenim finished the Targum, the translation of the Torah into Greek for Talmai, which we're going to learn about soon in Masechta Megillah, about all of the details about that. Tes Tevis is the day that Ezra HaSofer passed away, is how it says in the Slichas. In Megillas Tainus, it actually says that we don't know why they set it up as a fast day, Yeshayim, that it's the day that Osir Ish was born. And Asara B'Tevis, we know from our Gemara over here, and Hey Tevis again, because that's when they got the news in Babel. We do mention all four of them in the Slichas of Asara B'Tevis. We mention, first we mention Festavus, that they were forced to translate the Torah into Greek. Then we mentioned Testavus when Ezra Sofer passed away. Then we mentioned Yudtavus when the siege began. And then we mentioned also Bevoyelai Apollot Naimah, Huxoir, the Pasuk that we just quoted from Yechezkel, referring to the fifth Tavus. And then we continue in the Slicha over there, Al Abatan, for the four of them were mourning now during Tavus. The Chachamim did not want to set up for us four separate fasts in the month because it would be too hard, but instead we commemorate all of them on Asar B'Tavus. No. So what Reb Shimon is saying is, 3 years earlier had begun the siege of Yerushalayim. The siege of Yerushalayim began on Asar B'Tavus and lasted about 2.5 years until they breached the walls on Tes or Yedzayin Tammuz and then destroyed the Beis Hamikdash a few weeks later. Now, on Hei Tavis, a few months after the Churban, is when the news first reached Babel that the Beis Hamikdash had been destroyed, that Yerushalayim had been destroyed. From Av, yeah, from Av till Tavis. They only got the news in Tavis, right.
So
right.
It started in Hei Tavis. Why are we fasting in Yud?
So again, we're fasting in Yud because we follow Rabbi Kiva, primarily because we follow Rabbi Kiva, that we're commemorating the date of the siege, when the siege of Yerushalayim began, because that was the beginning of the end. But Reb Shimon is saying that we go according to the end of it when they got the news, and he continues. It seems more logical to accept my explanation of it than his, than Reb Akiva's. Shani Omar, Rishon Rishon, Mal Achron Achron. Because after all, I'm putting things not only in the order of the calendar, but also in the order they actually happen. Because then Hey Tavis is the last event that happened. He's putting the first thing, Asar B'Tavus, which happened first, he's putting it last. We'll say to Puronius, we'll say to Chadoshim, and also continues Reb Shimon. I'm going according to the order of the punishments of the disasters and of the months. We'll say to Chadoshim Bobad, Rabbi Akiva is only following the order of the months, so we're different girsa. He's going only according to the order of the months. I'm going according to the order of the Puronius as well. So therefore, Reb Shimon says it seems more logical to say that Soim HaRavi means Hey Tavis rather than Asar B'Tavis. The Minchas Chinuch points out an interesting point. He says, I mean, just look and see what day you're fasting on. Every year you're fasting on that some day during Tavis. And he says a very interesting idea. The Ritzvah says it bekitzer, the Minchas Chinuch says it more barichos. To begin with, when the Chachamim set up these fasts, they didn't necessarily say to begin with, you have to have one certain day during this month when you have to fast in commemoration of that event. They just said sometime during that month, you have to fast. That's why Zechariah calls him Tzoyim HaRaviv, Tzoyim HaMishi. Why doesn't he mention the actual date? Because it was enough to fast sometime during Tammuz. You have to fast in commemoration of the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim. Sometime during Tishrei, you have to fast in commemoration of Gedalia and so forth. Later on, there were Kaveyed on certain days. And now Reb Akiva and Reb Shimon are arguing which one. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGo'ola, Chafala for the Beis. The Rambam describes over there about a Melech Mibes David who's learning Torah and gets the whole Jewish people to follow the Torah and Yucham Luchamas Hashem. So the definition of Mashiach, the Gedder of Mashiach, is that the Torah will be restored to its perfect state. And we see, in fact, how do we know whether a person is Mashiach? Is in that himself. We see that the Torah is being fulfilled most perfectly. So you have the three details in that. Hogevah Torah, that Mashiach, a potential candidate for Mashiach, of Cheskos Mashiach, has to be learning Torah. He himself is completely ibegegeben, the Torah, to learning and fulfilling Torah. Yokuf Ko Yisrael means he accomplishes the same thing by Jewish people. And Yocham, Mochamas Hashem, that he removes all impediments, anything that would prevent us from that comes from the Umis. And that way, then the result is that Yupnuim, a Torah of Achamasa, everybody's going to free to learn Torah and the Chachma and not have anybody who harasses them or prevents them from doing it. Continuing halachas of Shabbos, if you get dirt on a beged or whatever, you're not allowed to pour water on it on Shabbos. But we said if it was on something hard like a wooden keli, for example, you were allowed to. Similarly, also he mentions when a person washes his hands and wants to wipe them with a towel, he should first rub his hands together to get as much water off of them as possible. That way you have only a little bit of water going into the towel, and then it's not considered kibbutz. However, the Alter Rebbe says the minhag is to be meikel, you don't really need to rub them together, and b'chein ikar. As far as if it's a colored towel, then you don't really have kibbutz. Is not so relevant to that. That's more when it comes to white ones, so then there wouldn't be an issue anyway.